Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. The sun is at galactic degree. And I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-host for the evening, Anastasia. Lavendar's on special assignment this evening, but she'll be back with us next week. We still have two more weeks of Mercury retrograde, so use this time to reflect and consider plans to be started after July 1st. The Autumn Crystal Quest starts on the next equinox, September 21 to 27, and we're already over a third full. So if you feel drawn to crystals and you have 25, 26, 27 degrees in any of these signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, Aquarius, or Leo, you have the rites of passage to participate. So just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more details. Tonight, our special guest is Dr. Lori Moore, an animal communicator, certified hypnotherapist, international speaker, and teacher. She works with both people and animals, helping to clear issues, as well as teaching us how to do the same. She has a new TV show to tell us about called Akua Lono. Dr. Moore has appeared across the U.S. and Europe as a keynote speaker, multiple dimensions communicator, and is a graduate psychology professor. She's got a special gift just for our listeners this evening, which we'll hear about in a few minutes. And she'll be happy to take calls from you concerning your pets. You can visit her websites at animiracles.com, that's animiracles.com, and streamingforthesoultv.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. And we'd like to thank Vanya and Claudia for hosting the switchboard this evening. And you can call in to speak to Dr. Lori on 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 when you're prompted so we know you have a question. We also have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com. And special thanks go to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. So now I would like to introduce my co-host for the evening, Anastasia. Hello, Anastasia.
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me, Ariel?
Yes, I am. Yeah, you're good. Hello. You were good.
good evening, everybody. Hello, this is Anastasia overcoming my technical difficulties.
But listen, Mercury's retrograde, so we all get to use that as an excuse
that's
for
right.
two more weeks.
It really picks on us, doesn't it? It seems to.
Well, you know, this is an electronic, technological type of show with all the computers and software and
Absolutely.
Things that it takes to get it to happen.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off tonight's show by talking about the sun. Remember last week I mentioned there were two X-class solar flares in one day, but today, June 17th, the sun is mostly quiet. They say there's a chance of solar flares, that solar activity is low, but they said that sunspot AR2089 could break the silence. And so they said that today we would have a 20% chance of X-class solar flares. There's been some near-Earth asteroid activity. It's been really, really high. Day after day I keep track of this, and usually there's 6, 8, 10, maybe 20. Today, June 17th, there were potentially 1,483 hazardous asteroids that they went through our region of space. And as you know, potentially hazardous asteroids are space rocks larger than, they say, approximately 100 meters that can come closer to Earth than 0.05 astronomical units. Now, none of these near-Earth asteroids that we know of is on a collision course with our planet, thank goodness, but astronomers are finding new ones all the time. Pretty interesting, though, there are so many on this day. 1,483 is really high. Really high. We have so much going on in the Earth changes category tonight. As you all may have heard, there was a freak thunderstorm that struck just yesterday, as a matter of fact, in Nebraska, following a deadly severe weather outbreak that included large hail, damaging straight-line winds, and multiple strong tornadoes that happened yesterday. There was a development of twin tornadoes that hit Pilger, Nebraska, a little town with a population of about 350 people. It was quite the show on the internet with the videos of double tornadoes. Now, although rare, the phenomenon of simultaneous multiple tornadoes associated with the same severe thunderstorm isn't heard of, but it is extremely rare for both tornadoes to be so intense and long-lasting. So it's very unusual. And making this even more unusual, they say from a scientific standpoint, is that both tornadoes were spinning in the same direction. Very bizarre and very scary if you were on the ground watching those coming towards you. Pretty, pretty awesome stuff. In Texas, also there was a tornado just a couple of days ago that touched down in Burnett County, Texas. It carried a house through the air about 100 yards, and then it set the house down. Now, when it put the house down, mind you, the house was in one piece, and the family of four inside emerged unhurt. The National Weather Service said they have never seen anything like this before. So Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, well, there you go. A family of four took a ride in a tornado 100 yards. Isn't that something?
Talk about relocating. Talk about relocating.
That's an easy way to move if you make it, really. Well, speaking of tornadoes, the first ever tornado that's been recorded or ever remembered has struck Korea. You don't usually think of Korea and tornado in the same sentence. But they did spot a tornado in Korea earlier this week. They said the twister lasted for at least an hour, and it left a trail of destruction in its path. They say that in its path, they said it destroyed 21 greenhouses. Well, I imagine it destroyed quite a bit more than that, but that's all the news article said. So tornado in Korea is really amazing. And there's been snow happening everywhere. Today, of course, as I said before, it is the 17th of June. And as of this day, there has been surprise summer snowfall in Finland. There was snowfall in Russia. And it's a week before the summer solstice coming up in Europe. They've had 8 inches of snow in Turkey. Wow. And in Switzerland, an amazing article off the internet about a hailstorm that turned the Swiss landscape looking to be like winter. The hail was so deep they had to plow it with snow plows.
Oh,
the photographs look like a snowstorm, about probably maybe 12, 18 inches deep.
Isn't that amazing?
They said that particular hailstorm cost over $10 million in damages. It wrecked cars, it hurt agriculture areas, but they said no one was injured. Amazing, amazing photograph. Never thought hail could get that deep. And in Nevada, as over the weekend, they were predicting snow in Nevada in Elko County. Elevations above 7,000 feet, they were predicting snow. So, and in Norway, also, they had a freak snowfall just a couple of days ago. People living there in Norway, even though that's a northern country, those of us that aren't familiar with that region of the world may think that they do get snow in the middle of June, but according to the people living in Norway, they say this is very rare. That they don't remember ever the last time it snowed on June 16th. And yesterday they got 4 inches of snow.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Global cooling, maybe new ice age, anyone? We don't know. But also, there were 8,000 lightning strikes that hit Europe in 2 hours just over the weekend. They had to delay flights at Gatwick Airport. Travelers were left waiting for hours and hours for the airlines to resume flight because there was those 8,000 lightning strikes. And in fact, the BBC weather reported that in the last 2 hours, this is Saturday now, they said there have been over 8,000 lightning strikes in Europe. That's really amazing.
Wow.
8,000. Wow. Duck and cover, huh?
Wow.
Russia,
well,
of all places. Huh? What's that?
I was saying, Mother Nature, remember that commercial, It's Not Nice to Fool Mother Nature?
That's an old one. I think that was a butter commercial. It was great.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
right.
That phrase, you know,
but
it's just, you don't want to mess with Mother Nature. She'll
absolutely
always win.
Yeah. Absolutely. And these are examples of just what's going on in that department. And really, this is stuff we don't have any control over as human beings anyway, as society at large. And nature has a way of teaching us humility. Speaking of which, you know, when we think of hurricanes, we think of the Gulf Coast, we think of tropical climates, but Russia had a hurricane. On Friday the 13th, by the way, they say that a devastating hurricane hit Russia's far east, ripping off roofs, knocking down trees and power lines, cutting electricity for 20 to 30,000 residents, and it toppled over 1,500 trees. So there's been some wild weather this last week in the last 7 days alone. We're into the second week of June, and already all this is happening. And also a very interesting study out of the University of Texas at Austin. This study has found that West Antarctic ice sheet is collapsing due to geothermal heat, not man-made global warming. Now, researchers from this Institute for Geophysics found that what they call the Thwaites Glacier in western Antarctica is being eroded by the ocean as well as geothermal heat from magma and subaerial volcanoes. They say that they use this glacier, Thwaites Glacier, as a key factor in understanding future sea level rise, but it's also another acts into the idea of global warming as being a man-made phenomenon. And speaking of volcanoes, Mount Etna has just recently erupted again, forcing a shutdown of Sicily's major airports. They have disrupted flight as the island's volcano began spewing molten lava and ash from a crater on the southeast side of Etna. It didn't lead to any evacuation of mountain villages, but they say that the temporary closure of flights will cause a headache for travelers. And the last major eruption of Etna, they say, was in 1992. And in El Salvador, Central America, there has been a very intense seismic vibration under a volcano called Chaparafti. This volcano has been acting up. They say that there have been residents have been hearing booming noises, seismic vibrations. There hasn't been any vapor or gas so far, but that makes them feel that the duct system of the volcano is obstructed and that there's a high probability of eruptive activity on the flanks of the volcano. They say that eruptions in the last 500 years have been in the V1 to VE2 range, and they say that since February of 2014, several hundred micro-earthquakes have been recorded under this volcano. So there's stuff happening under the ground there in El Salvador. And in Brazil, before the U.S. World Cup game, floods struck. They say that 2 days of near nonstop rain have dumped a month's worth of precipitation at the World Cup city of Natal, which led to a flood alert and raising worries that the deluge could affect the U.S. team's debut match against Ghana. Well, no deaths or injuries have been reported in those rains, but they say the rains dumped in 50 hours as much rain as is usually seen in the northeast of Brazil during the entire month of June. Amazing amount of rain.
Wow.
We have a couple of new comets to talk about tonight. Actually, I'm only going to tell you about one. There's a couple. There's an asteroid. Well, they thought it was an asteroid that they've since decided was a comet, and that's 2013 UQ4 Catalina. And so we have already seen this year, in 2014, we've seen comets R1 Lovejoy, K1 Pan-STARRS, and E2 Jox. Those have been by, and now we're going to see another one because they say it will put on a fine show this summer for those of us in the northern hemisphere. They decided that it was not an asteroid when it emerged from the far side of the sun. They saw that it had a little fuzz around it in the photographs their telescopes picked up, that it was actually sprouting a tail. So now they are saying that it is a comet, and they say that it's going to be a nice show in the sky in the northern hemisphere. So there's four comets this year then.
Wow.
And pretty interesting. And in Fukushima, there was an earthquake on Sunday. Actually, there were two moderate earthquakes that struck off Japan's eastern coast near Fukushima on Monday. This comes from the U.S. Geological Survey. The epicenter of the first quake had a magnitude of 5.7 and was located off the coast of Honshu, which they say is Japan's largest and most populated island. The second 5.6 quake earthquake struck 2 hours later, pretty close together, slightly closer to shore. Now, this same coastline was struck by a devastating quake and subsequent tsunami in 2011, as you all remember, that killed more than 18,000 people and sparked a meltdown at the Fukushima power plant, the world's worst nuclear accident. And that story, by the way, came from a very remote place. I picked that up from the Times of India. It's getting harder and harder, by the way, Starseed, to find news reports on the Internet. It's really not as easy as it used to be. And there's a disturbing story out of the Washington Post about the USDA Wildlife Services. It's a very long article. I'm just going to give you some highlights. But the federal government has been exterminating animals at record numbers. More than 4 million animals have been shot, poisoned, snared, or trapped by the Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services in the fiscal year 2013. This included, I'm sorry to tell you this, but 75,326 coyotes, 866 bobcats, 528 river otters, 3,700 foxes, 12,186 prairie dogs, 973 red-tailed hawks, 419 black bears, at least 3 eagles of golden and bald, golden eagles and bald eagles. And that's not all. That's not all. They're providing a list of the animals that have been killed, and it's staggering. They're not giving a reason for why they're killing these animals. They don't explain the methods that they use. They don't tell people what they do, and they don't give the reasons behind these massive kills of animals that aren't even targeted, because they'll target some animals and there'll be die-off that's collateral damage. Two members of Congress have called Wildlife Services a secret and opaque agency for failing to provide more information, and there are mounting calls for an investigation into how it operates. Now, Wildlife Services is responding by saying that it works to resolve human and wildlife conflicts in a strategic way. Quote, as wildlife damage increases, requests for assistance also increase, end quote. Ranchers and farmers pay half the agency's cost of killing animals that they view as a threat. But the agency did provide no explanation for why the kill total can be 1.5 million in 1 year and 5 million the next. It is really a problem. Experts are saying we really don't know what they're doing, and some people have called this a staggering killing campaign bankrolled by taxpayers and happening beyond the view of most Americans. Now, I had no idea that was going on, so I wanted to share that with you. We need to be aware of things like that. We really do. Ninth graders have impressed the scientific community, or rather I should say have stirred up the scientific community, because 5 ninth graders from Denmark recently created a science experiment that has proven that Wi-Fi is damaging to plant growth. You know, they did this study where they put seeds next to a Wi-Fi. They decided that they wanted to test cell phone radiation and Wi-Fi radiation. And they planted seeds near a Wi-Fi, and didn't grow. So this is a study that scientists are now looking at from some high school students as to why in the world seeds won't grow near routers when they did grow in another room away from the routers. There's been a lot of study about the dangers of dirty electricity and radiation from these wireless devices. We really find it very easy to use wireless. I know that I find it easy to use wireless, but the studies are sure indicating that it is highly toxic to the human body, and I'm certain, as a clairvoyant, that it is damaging to the human electromagnetic field and the aura. It is better if we could learn to do without some of these easy things that we find so convenient but really are so damaging to plant, animal, human, you know, not good for us. And I know, Ariel, you're in that court. I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, just hold me back. I
you
mean,
know, yeah, you know, right. I mean, we could, we ought to do a whole show on that, really. We really should.
No, it's been
just
a while.
So easy.
We did have an expert a long time ago on the show, but it's time to do an update. You're right.
It really is, because this is so enticing, the way it's marketed and packaged, and everybody does it. I know so many enlightened people that... I mean, they just live with their cell phones and their gadgets and do all of this stuff. And, man, it's and give it to their children and on. So we really do need to do another program on that. Anyway, I kind of forgot I'm giving the news here.
Yeah.
I guess I better get back to work. Well, you know, scientists have now found that an ocean's worth of water, I mean multiple oceans, not a ocean, that many oceans' worth of water are hidden deep inside the Earth's mantle. They say it's locked up in a mineral called ringwoodite. Ringwoodite. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Ringwoodite. And so they are discovering this. They say the results of this study is going to help scientists understand Earth's water cycle and plate tectonics and how plate tectonics moves water between the surface of the planet and interior reservoirs. You know, as a kid, I always thought that rain, you know, came from the sky and that made lakes and... How interesting for us to think that water also comes from the interior of the planet. Very fascinating. So they say that there's probably far more water in the core of the Earth than there is on the surface. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's just amazing stuff. And I think their final article tonight is going to be about GMO bananas. I think I'll end that here. But they have developed a super banana, which has been... on a trial run in Uganda. Now, they are going to test these bananas on humans, and actually, they did say that they're going to, let's see here, let me just read this to you. They do say here, I'm reading it, the trials are to take place in the U.S. over a six-week period, and they say they want to start growing the fruit in Uganda by 2020. Well, they don't really specify here whether they're starting to grow the bananas here or they're using seeds or what. I don't know. I'm just going to read the article to you. They say that these bananas are super bananas because they have been genetically engineered to have increased levels of vitamin A, a deficiency of which they say can be fatal. So they're going to tinker with Mother Nature and give us vitamin A, come what may. They're going to give it to us. And so because they say hundreds of thousands of people die from vitamin A deficiencies across the world, they have engineered this special banana, genetically modified it to save people from vitamin A deficiency. So they're going to be, I guess, probably within the next year or 5 years, so see 2020. I suppose within the next 5 or 6 years we will see GMO bananas in our grocery stores. You know, it has been soy and canola and sugar beets and things like that that have been largely the GMOs that contaminate our food supply. But now it's becoming, as I've said in other broadcasts, fruits and vegetables. They have GMO apples now. They have GMO all different kinds of things. I'm even suspecting that there may be GMO watermelons out there if you've sliced a watermelon and found it full of all white, rooty kinds of contents in the middle that don't look natural, and certain cantaloupes certainly don't look natural, and the fruit and the vegetables are just looking a little weird that we're getting at the grocery stores. There's probably a lot more GMO modification in our fruits and vegetables than we realize. And the point is that soon to come will be bananas. So be nice to have our own gardens and grow heritage seeds. In fact,
well,
it's probably
good, I mean, the good news, I mean, from a prior newscast is that the organic movement is really taking off. It's gone mainstream. So, you know.
People are waking up to this. People don't want to eat this stuff. No, they don't.
Right. That's
You're right.
And organic bananas are delicious. They're better than any other banana you've ever tasted. So, you know, ask your grocery stores to increase their organic stock.
Absolutely.
Because people are,
you know,
they're going for good stuff.
And they will get the supply if there's a request for it, and also the additional expense just doesn't amount to that much. If one spends their grocery money by not buying, let's say, potato chips or things like that that are not good for you, and puts that extra money into organic, it's well worth it for your health, and it really isn't prohibitive. You can find a way to make it work, and it is for your body as well as for your spirit and your whole energy field. And you're right, organic bananas are wonderful. Well, anyway, that's tonight's news. Arielle, I'm looking forward to the show. We're going to have a great show.
We sure are. We sure are. Thank you so much, Anastasia, for the Starseed News.
You're so welcome.
So I am going to introduce our guest right now. Just let me get your microphone open. Hello, Dr. Lori. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back here. It feels very good.
Well, we just love having you on. And I know that you've got some new stuff that we're going to be talking about, but just for the listeners that possibly didn't catch the last show that you did with us last year, just kind of tell us how you came to be who you are now.
I really love all the many species of life that are in a giant network together, meeting on this planet for the sake of benevolent evolution, meaning the animals, the insects, the angels, the people, the plants, the masters that come in all kinds of form with bodies and not bodies, and those that are staying in touch with us and reaching out to us from other places in the galaxy, other geographical planetary locations. There's such an opportunity here on Earth to be in touch telepathically, heart to heart, with everyone. And that's my interest that I was incarnated with, and my love, and so my work has developed and blossomed from that joy.
Very well said. And it is, I mean, it is true that when you have that oneness and you really can tap in, there's just no limit to the good work that you can do in helping to raise the planetary vibration, and that's really something we all need to work on.
Yes, and I want to add, I do appreciate the rock and mineral species as well. I just felt that vibration as you were speaking, and it is quite a mysterious and wonderful journey to be here on Earth where so many species gather.
It is, and I know that you have, you've done a lot of things in your career. You've traveled a lot. You've been a speaker and a teacher, but tell us what is on the front burner right now.
Oh, I've been in L.A., and we filmed the first 8 episodes of Akua Lono, my new show coming up on streamingforthesoultv.com. It's a beautiful internet channel, streamingforthesoultv.com. It's a few more weeks. There's been a couple of delays, but on Tuesday nights at 7, starting pretty soon, Akua Lono will be on, and it's a wonderful experience where people were Skyping in from around the globe, and others came to the studio with their animals, and I had the wonderful opportunity to work in many different ways with people who had questions about their animals or wanted to communicate with their animals or who were going through awakenings or who came on the show because something inside them prompted them and went through an awakening or a transformation or a release of a self-defeating habit. So people and animals came for all kinds of reasons, and we just got to have them go through personal transformations.
Well, again, you do, I mean, you work with people, with animals, because as you said, it's all part of the same thing. And so you really don't have draw a line between humans and animals. You can do the same type of work for all creatures.
Yes, I appreciate that the animals have gifts and awarenesses that humans have so much to learn from. And in many of my books, I talk about this healing and awakening. The heart, animal wisdom for humans, for example, really goes into a lot of sharing of how the animal's wisdom and beautiful messages can alert and inspire our own hearts back into these realms of, as you were saying, oneness, and back into these realms of great joy and gratitude and devotion to life on Earth.
And don't you feel that animals have, when they incarnate, they have a particular mission, you know, when they have something that they teach their owner, that they have come to show either by mirroring or another, you know, method of bringing something of value and service to their human family.
Each animal, just like each person, as you said, incarnates with a specific task, a specific soul purpose, and that can be anything from being an expression of unconditional joy to assisting someone with developing compassion. Some animals are more teachers. Some animals, like you said, are more mirrors. Some animals come to grow side by side with someone they love. They each have a unique way of being, a unique personality, characteristics, a unique flavor, essence of soul, and purpose for why they are here, much like humans. So as we learn to acclimate ourselves more to the communication of animals, which always comes through the heart, animals don't separate their intellect from their heart, nor do they separate their intellect from their soul. Everything is integrated very well. As we acclimate ourselves to that, we become more that way. We begin to hear what the animals are saying, and that helps us to hear what we're saying to ourselves much more deeply inside.
Wow. You know, I've seen some videos of animals working with disabled or elderly, and there is something that is so, what is the word, so honest, so sincere, without guile, without any other motive except to be of service and show unconditional love. And I just recently saw a video with a Labrador, yellow Labrador, and a child with Down syndrome who was kind of afraid of the dog, and just watched her go through this. And I just sat here and cried. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. That the dog had such depth, and by the end of the video, the little child was hugging the dog.
Aww.
It was a beautiful transformation just right there. It's on YouTube.
It's very moving, and having spoken with hundreds of animals and the people they live with, I just find over and over again the animals are unconditionally compassionate, loving, caring. They have a really beautiful experience, which doesn't mean all animals have an easy experience or that all animals have a wonderful outer life, but they have bypassed a judgment kind of feature that goes through humans' minds that takes up a lot of our time, even if we think we're not judgmental. If we look carefully at how we're going through our day, our minds are somewhat wired up to go beyond discernment and into judgment, and animals are just in a place of love. That's where we like to be, and when we fall into love, into our own heart, we're back there. But most of us as humans have to remind ourselves, because we can spin away from that, and animals tend to stay in that pretty consistently, really always.
Yeah, and they are totally without judgment. And a lot of times when you do, I've seen people doing healing work on animals, they respond so well because of that, that lack of judgment. And I've seen some miraculous transformations where animals needed some help getting over something, and they just allow it. You know, they're so receptive.
I find it's a wonderful way to work with people and animals together, because often a person who has a challenge is so able to hear the help that the animal presents and not feel threatened or judged. If the animal is the one to bring up some possibilities of what could bring the person into greater fulfillment and joy, which often happens when I'm working with someone and an animal, is the person's very curious about the animal and ends up benefiting deeply themselves.
Oh, that you're so right. That is so true. And I mean, almost everybody I know that has an animal, it's like no matter what the animal does, you love them. You know, even if they're naughty, or you just love them, and they can so easily then offer some suggestions, because it won't be met with the judgment as if a human had said that to a person. They will, I'm sure, accept the advice of their beloved pets.
Yes, it's a wonderful, mysterious grace of this planet that people and animals so often come to unconditional love without trying with each other. The animal loves the person unconditionally, and the person loves the animal unconditionally beyond any kind of judgments. It makes it so easy to have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, I mean, we think about it, truly most people are nicer to their pets than they are to their, human friends sometimes, and I'd love to see that improving with this relationship with animals. And so your TV show, you said you filmed 8 episodes, and it'll start in a couple of weeks?
Yes, it's supposed to start in a couple of weeks, and then I'll go back and film more episodes, but there's some editing work getting done before they'll air.
Well, that's a good thing, because Mercury's retrograde, and you just always want to launch when Mercury's direct, so... tell them to wait until July 1st.
That's good info. Thank you.
Yeah. When Mercury's retrograde, the main thing to remember is RE, redo, reevaluate, replan, restructure. It's a do-over. So it's better to launch when Mercury is direct. And if you have any kind of say in the matter, just don't
do
it.
I do. Yes, yeah. I do. So thank you.
Yeah. After July 1st, Mercury will be direct, and you just get away from all of that entanglement that can happen.
And good. That's good news. Yeah, great.
Well, sure. I mean, the thing about the planetary energies is that it's consistent, it's reliable, and it's knowable. You just have to understand how it works, and you can navigate. I mean, the daily planets, the position of the planets daily has an influence on everybody, depending on what your own personal chart is, how it interplays with that. It can be your weather forecast. Is the wind going to be at your back? Or are you going to be walking uphill in the rain? You can choose to do it either way, but I think easier is better.
I would agree with that. It's great to pay attention to the planetary maps and relationship to what we're doing and what our plans are, for sure. Also to our inner maps, and to really listen to what thoughts, what feelings are naturally coming through as we get up in the morning and informing us about our creations and our participation.
Yeah, you know, and having that you said that, when you first wake up in the morning is really a good time to decide how you are going to move your energy today, rather than, you know, a lot of people get up and they jump into action and get right to the day. And just, I mean, even if you just take 2 minutes and say, I'm going to have a great day, it's going to be peaceful, things are going to go my way, whatever kind of intent you want to send before your feet ever hit the ground. I have, and it really helps you to stay focused during the day to alert you to not do some of the knee-jerk reactions that we do, you know, when someone snags your parking spot, you know.
Yes.
I intended to show grace to everyone today. So,
yes, kind of set our barometer when we first get going has a big influence on what waves of thought and feelings we have throughout the day, and also just noting what is life, what is the universe sending through the heart, what kind of thoughts, what kind of feelings at the beginning of the day, so that we harmonize with some natural flows of focus that are created from a source even deeper than our own personality and willpower.
Yeah, it's coming, getting below the surface and getting into alignment with a deeper truth has just got to result in a better day and a more productive
day. A better life. Yes, for sure. Huh? Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, you take care of each individual day, and the years will take care of themselves. You know,
that's
because
a beautiful
that's really
way to look
happens.
At it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the now is where your power is. Your power isn't in, you know, from yesterday or tomorrow. The now is where your power is. So if you just take care of moment to moment, intending where your energy is going to go and how it's going to feel and what it's going to bring to you. I learned that from Abraham Hicks, Esther and Abraham. She calls it segment intending. And you break your day down into just a little bitty bit, whatever you can handle. It's like, okay, all I have to do is the next 30 minutes. And you just keep stringing those along until, before you know it, you have changed an energy program in your life.
Beautiful. Yes, as we go through each moment has such opportunity for presence. And with that presence, there's always something else available. Maybe it's peace or joy or reaching out in service or just being quiet or accepting that we're not in peace and joy. And by paying attention to right now and here, we find that there's this limitless neutral void, and in that there's so many qualities that we get to play with and use as art, from bliss to delight to kindness. And all of life is just moment after moment of these kind of opportunities. I find that so much of my work when I'm doing sessions with people and they're coming to me because they have a challenge is to help them get back to that place where they are in a neutralness regardless of what's happening. And from there, all kinds of positive responses or responses that take them out of whatever the way they were feeling trapped or unhappy can naturally, very easily.
Yeah, I just saw an image of a person floating in a river, and they hit like a tangle of limbs and dead wood and just like a little dam in the river, and they get hung up there, and you have to just kind of like get back out into the middle, into the flow, and then you can continue on your way. But sometimes people don't know that they're snagged in that area, and you just, it seems like you've been able to show them how to get back to, you know, to take a step back and get back to that neutral spot. And
that's
away
a lot
from
of the work and practice that I do, because all of us have levels and layers of areas in ourselves that have habitual contractions that we don't notice because we're all in some kind of conditioned states. And so as we're playful and creative with ourselves, when we come up against anything in the world that appears or feels difficult to us, there's always an opportunity to do some shifting and changing inside of us. And of course, that doesn't mean that we should put up with circumstances that aren't good to be put up with. You know, you were talking
right
about some things earlier that are happening regarding animals and food and our planet, and it's not to say that we should be passive about anything, but when we're finding something difficult is happening, when we can return to a place inside ourselves that is in the neutral peace. First, we might feel waves of emotion, but under those waves of emotion, there's also a steady kind of peace just connected with a universal, I would call it heartbeat, that's always available to us. And so the animals have helped me a lot, especially Jesse, Justin, Joy, my cat, who supervises and works with me in my business, service-based business, to assist people with those kind of shifts and changes. So sometimes couples will come in and they're on the verge of splitting up, and then they're back in a honeymoon phase, or someone has been heartbroken for years and she comes in and then she goes out fine. The heartache is cured, or there's an addiction and it seems hopeless, and then it turns around, and it's all because I'm helping the person to take the directorship of their inner life. And directorship really involves a lot of surrender and humility to experiencing what is in there that's not so preferable, so that it becomes more like liquid again and can change and shift.
Right, yeah, and so much of that goo that people have stored up is not really so scary. It's just kind of, you don't want to get your hand in there, but once you do get a hold of it, you can pull it out. There's such a relief. So, you know, it takes a little bit of courage and determination that it's not quite as big and bad as you think it is, because once you get started on it, you can see it more for what it is.
Yes, often there's pockets of contraction and energy in us that we keep trying to avoid, and then we cause ourselves just anguish or mental cycles that are not preferable. But when we almost jump into the energy, it starts to change and often opens us up to much bigger, expanded, joyous energy.
Well, in that case, you got to keep your eyes on the goal, and the obstacle doesn't seem as large.
Yes, so the obstacle can even just suddenly turn into the doorway.
Right, right, and it's not exactly what you thought it was in the first place.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, for myself personally, when I need to get back on center, all I have to do is step outside and look at nature, look at the sky, look at the trees, and see, you know, it is a beautiful planet. It's not a perfect place because of what man has done to it, but it's still a planet of amazing beauty, and there's so much power and peace that it really works. It really works for me just to go out and just take a deep breath and see that we're surrounded with beauty all the time, and we're part of that.
Yes, the trees and the sun and the water are forever holding that. The animals are holding that. And we're just quiet and remember, we're holding it.
Yeah, well, it really is as simple as it seems.
It's simple, yes, and we can forget and all kinds of... You know, it's so fascinating to me is the human mind can just make up such intricate maps, and that's the joy of having a human mind. It's playful, and we make map upon map, but like you said, this piece is so simple. It bypasses every map. It just is. Wherever we are, whatever is happening, it is available, and animals really know that. We really know that, too. We just give ourselves permission to remember, and there it is.
Well, like Lavendar says, perception is reality. And if there's one thing we have absolute power over, it's what we choose to think. You know, so
yeah.
it really comes down to, can it be that simple? It's like, sure, you know. you can choose to look at something with disdain or judgment, or you can look at it and see the beauty in it. You know, it's just a choice. And your perception creates your reality. So, you know, I want to perceive things as happily and peacefully and beautifully as I can. So, you know, and it's a building,
so,
you know, every day you build a little bit more.
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes other feelings are coming through us and other thoughts, and we have the opportunity to just sit in the presence of those feeling and thoughts, when we're not fighting them or escalating them, then we find something else even deep within those non-preferred feelings or thoughts, because that will happen.
Oh, that's true. And I thought you were going to say that even sometimes when other people are kind of you know, spewing their erroneous beliefs on you, you don't really have to accept that to get, you know, approval from anyone. You know, you have to go within yourself and know what's true for you. And if it's true
yes.
for the next person, let them go in peace. But it's like, no, that's not my reality. So.
Yes, and in the neutral space at the core of the heart where everyone has something in common, that is our hearts. Our hearts have the same love in common, the same even neutralness in common. There's plenty of space for everyone to have different beliefs. That's really the agreement of planet Earth. It's a place where people get to experience and whatever creation they're drawn towards. And there will be all kinds of people here with very different realities going on side by side. And when we don't have to agree or disagree, in moments where we choose to not have to agree or disagree, we slip back into this deep, spacious neutrality that's at peace while there's all these comings and goings and different realities and harmonies and disharmonies and agreements and disagreements. There's something deeper than that where we all meet and have permission to go through our excursions and the learnings we must go through from that.
Well, that's well said.
Because go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was born in 1962 where the flight, and I was, I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C., and the flavor was really toward, you know, a lot of us born then were coming in for world peace with a conceptual idea of how that would be. And there was a lot of movements like civil rights and energy towards change in this good way and things that really had to be changed. And so I grew up with this idea that we were going to have world peace by now. And so, of course, I had to eventually stop thinking it would happen in an outer form. I would love that, but I didn't see that that was what was happening. More and more good was happening, and more not good was happening on this planet as time went on. And so I found that looking for the spaciousness, the deeper inner peace that can be at peace with itself through all these different kinds of experiences on the globe and personally, is where I seek my home. And where I find my grounding spot, and through what feels preferred or non-preferred, through experiences that I enjoy or don't enjoy, through wonderful relations with people and relationships that turn out bumpy and not feeling good, and in my own self, finding my benevolent qualities and finding qualities I wish were not a part of me. Through all of it, there's an opportunity to go deep into this peace that the animals stay in. For example, the dolphins, people sometimes think, oh, the dolphins are always cheery and happy. They're always in bliss, but they have jealousy, they have anger, they have arguments. They go through all the same kind of enactments the humans go through, but they keep their foundation in bliss. And so the opportunity that I really work with when I work with people one-on-one or when I'm speaking and then I'm working with in myself all day is to fall back consistently into this awareness of where I already am, where we all already are, where there is this foundational joy, there is a foundational peace, and all kinds of things are happening.
Well, so it's like having your sacred space, wherever your base of operations is, whether it's your home or just your room, there has to be a place where you go to be regenerated, to be nurtured, to find that zero point, to find that balance and that grounding. And, you know, so if you have to leave that space and go out and deal with the world, it might be raining, it might be, you know, bad weather out there, but you always have to have that place to come back to So I understand what you're saying is that it has to be your foundation, has to be one of balance and peace and being centered. And you know what, even as star seeds, if we can just live 55% of our day in that peaceful state and, you know, oneness with others, that is contagious and on an energetic level. You don't have to go out and preach on a pulpit, but energetically, you know, if we all just reach that note, it'll get loud enough so that it has an effect on other people, and they may not know where it's coming from. But that's part of our mission as starseeds, is to live and maintain the highest frequency we possibly can. And like I said, it's only 55% of the time you have to have that foundational bliss and joy and living in gratitude and all the things that you've just said. And that's enough to do it.
Yes, and that 55% is very loving and forgiving, because it's saying we're here as a practice, not as a perfection. And so the other 45% is an opportunity to re-remind ourselves or to forgive ourselves or to love ourselves, or like I was saying, to go through the doorway of, oh, what's all this other energy? What's this? Because it is here on the planet. If I just go through it instead of fight it or exalt it or do anything with it, if I kind of merge my heart right into it, what is it? It might turn out, like we were saying before, to be something very, very different.
Well, and that's where transmutation comes in. You know, if you can see a disturbed energy and go and interact with it, you can transmute it, turn it back into the up spiral, and it's usable energy. You know, whether it's up or down or people consider good or bad, it's just energy. And if you can put the right spin on it, you get it going back upwards again, then you've transmuted it, transmuting negativity. When you walk into a room and you hear people arguing, you know, you can just send out the intention for balance and peace and transmute that energy and kind of take some of the charge off of it, tone it down a little bit.
Yes, yeah. And once in a while I've run into some character who has responded to intentions I've had for that with thinking, oh, she's a kind of soft person, so I'll just keep upping the ante of my misused anger. And I found in those situations a different tactic has to be taken, where it's kind of like mirroring it right back for a moment, and then a person might relinquish their position. So there's always this artistic, creative possibility of how are we going to respond to this particular moment. So, for example, with many people, if I am open-hearted and warm, that feels very good for all. Some people, that will hit a chord, and maybe I'll feel it in my belly. Oh, somebody's quite upset about what I'm saying, so how do I energetically navigate if I don't want to end up in a role of, okay, you be one way and I'll be another over and over again. So every situation we encounter, and a lot of people come to me for this purpose, that every situation that is challenging, there's going to be a unique response of how do I bring this back to a different energy form from my own participation, for my own initiation.
Well, like you said, it is an art form. And, you know, you walk into a room and you probably don't know exactly what raw materials will be there. So that's where the art comes in, where you say, oh, these things can turn into that. And you might have a different recipe for each one.
You know? Yeah. Everything's always so different. I remember when I was teaching in Hawaii a lot, and all my channels were wide open, and I'd come back to mainland, and I'd forget to kind of not keep my channels so open, and I'd just start absorbing a lot of energies that really weren't so great for my system. I mean, just like getting off the airplane, going through the airport, that kind of thing. It was such a different environment. So I had to become more careful about what channels are open where. And when do I put some boundaries around the channels and not absorb much of what's going on around.
That is so important. It is so important because you have to know, you know, when to close the doors and put up your shield when you are walking through a place like an airport where there's cell phones and wireless and people stressed out and, you know, energies from all over the place. So it is so important, especially for people that are very empathic. It's really important to know how to turn off the sponge so that you can get through something without coming home with everyone else's energies that you didn't really ask for.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, we have a lot of people on the switchboard that are, I know, just waiting to talk to you.
Oh, good.
And would you be, are you ready for taking some questions from our listeners?
I love it. I'd love to, yes.
Great. Thank you. First of all, we are going to be talking to Alyssa.
Okay, Patrick.
Hello, Alyssa. You are on the air with Dr. Lori.
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
How can I help you today?
She said I had a choice of an animal or a person to talk about.
And what would you like to choose?
Could do either one. We do have two tortoises. I believe the younger one was born in 2012.
What's the younger one's name?
Amelia. That's what we named her.
Okay, and do you have a question for Amelia?
Let's see. I take her outside sometimes, and I don't know if she's comfortable outside.
Well, she's actually talking about that because she's very sensitive to what's happening in the earth. And I don't know if you're actually placing her. Where is she outside when you take her out?
I just put her. You know, we have grass. I mean, it's not like it's kind of the remnants of what used to be a lawn. There's grass others.
Yeah, thanks. That explains it to me. She's very fascinated by the energy that she's feeling through the earth. And the earth there could actually use some extra intention the earth needs to receive back there. So even putting your hands on the earth and giving peace to the earth would be helpful, because Amelia's saying that there's different kinds of communications energetically kind of popping and moving through her body from the earth, which don't feel fully harmonious, which don't feel like the earth in a it's odd to say natural state because we've just been talking about all these things that happen in nature. But there's a feeling of earth when earth is happy. It feels, there's a very harmonious feeling of places where earth is happy. And so this earth is needing to receive back peace and love. Just like if you've read the books about Dr. Emoto where they did the experiments where they said, thank you, I love you, to the water, even miles and continents away, the formations of the water change to very delightful, glorious, beautiful kind of formations. And this earth is wanting that, and Amelia is realizing that. Amelia also wants to say that Amelia wants to assist you whenever you're having some emotions that are feeling challenging for you, that you can count on Amelia. Amelia wants to comfort you and just tune in heart to heart. Amelia wants to be there for you and is on your side with that. Amelia is very sensitive to anything that's not feeling really harmonious in the moment. And we all go in and out of harmonies, just like the earth. And so she wants you to know that's her job, and that's why she came, to assist with returning whatever isn't in harmony to harmony. What isn't in harmony is never wrong or bad. It's just not in harmony. And she has a gift to help return whatever isn't in harmony to harmony.
Okay, so if I'm feeling some intense emotion, then I should think about her or pick her up, or
You can sit with her and just breathe together. And she help you to relax and feel better by reminding you of what is good. She'll send you messages of what is good. Whether you know if you hear them or not, you'll start to feel them, and you might hear them. And she will remind you of how to calm your energy down and bring it into a settled place in your body, because she's very good at that herself.
Okay.
I'm so glad you called. Yeah.
Okay.
So do you have another question, don't you?
Oh,
go ahead.
Well, I did mention that my mother passed away, and she said something about you could talk about people who passed away. Is that correct?
Yes, what's your mother's name? I'll get a hold of her.
Her name was Mary, or at one time it was Phoebe, but she changed it to Mary Woodruff.
Yes, it's a very beautiful energy coming from her these days on the other side. It's like we were talking about doors opening. It's like a beautiful, light, lovely breeze opening through a door. It's very heartful and very sweet and very much watching you in such a good way from the light. Did you have a question for her, or you just wanted to know how she was?
I guess I just wanted to know how she was doing. You know, how she was. Yeah, enjoying the other side. I know at one time she, you know, like didn't have a religion or didn't have a any kind of belief about, you know, what would happen to her when she passed away. So I didn't know.
She's,
you know,
very at peace and very on purpose. So she's very clear about where she is. It's in a good place. It's in a good place of the heart. She's still working out some things from this life, still thinking some things over, and it feels very good for her to have that time to reflect upon this life and what she thought about. But she's experiencing it in a different way now. And she does contact you a lot. So if you feel she's around, she is. And she does try to get through to you with words at time and to support you and give you permission, or not permission, I would say more like support you and welcome you is a better word, welcome you to really follow your dreams, to really follow what it is you want to be doing and being, and you have her support.
Okay. Okay, well, that sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, Alyssa. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All
sometimes
right.
When people go to the other side, they go through a big washing. So some of what we knew them to be here is the same, but sometimes it's not, because they really have the opportunity when they pass over to wash away some things. And so we might encounter them differently, very quickly. Not so for everyone, but it does happen.
That's a good point. Good point. Well, next up in line, we have Ellen. Ellen, you're on the air with Dr. Lori.
Hi, Ellen.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Lori. I'm so glad I got through to you.
Likewise. Yes. How can I support you?
I have two foster cats. They are litter mates who've been in my care a year and a half. I guess they're not going anywhere, and I guess I should just try and figure out whether they're happy with me and want to stay with me.
Okay.
Their names are Maisie and Cindy, and they're about 12 years old. They're calico, mostly gray.
Okay, and Maisie is which gender?
They're both female.
Okay, let me find them. One moment, please. They're very talkative, and they, I mean, they weren't planning on going anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do one at a time. So, Nazy, did you have any other specific question for her?
Are they happy? Is there
okay.
anything I should be doing for them
okay.
to make them even happier?
Okay, let me ask one at a time. So let me ask Nazy first. She's a bit inwardly, though she probably doesn't express it so much with her body, but dramatic about things. She's very attuned to certain kind of emotions, and she's attentive to feelings in the environment. In terms of does she want anything to make her happier, she's just kind of doing her thing. She's not really asking for anything other than what's already being given. She would ask you the same thing. Is there anything she can do for you?
That's nice.
And the other one, tell me her name again.
Cindy.
Okay, just a minute. She's a little bit more focused on what Nazy was saying right now than on her interaction with you in this moment. She's giving Nazy a lot of support. Nazy's gone through some things and needs support that she's giving to her. So they're just focused on what they're doing. They're not really asking for anything more of you right now.
So actually, that, if you don't mind my asking a follow-up question, what did they go through? I don't know their past history before they came to me. I know they were in another foster home for maybe a year, but I don't know what happened to their regular home.
Well, what Nazy is talking about is just a lot of different emotions and thoughts about having been in different situations, which was complicated for her. And so she's needing a lot of time to think about that and process that. And so she's talking to the other one about that a lot. And it was just a little hard for her to go from place to place. And so that's what she's having to talk about and receive compassion for.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were still healing from that. Oh.
It's even, yeah, it's not just healing. It's even like introspection, like, you know, digesting it all, integrating it all. The complexity of the life experience of going from place to place. And as they do that, it really is to also assist you with more deeply digesting some other times and periods in your life that may even have a little lingering sorrow that's ready to be healed and cleared now.
Okay, so that's our connection. We're healing kind of a similar thing.
You got it. You really got it. Yes, good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. It's a wonderful insight that I would not have gotten on my own.
Good. You're welcome. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Ellen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, next we have a question from Jane. Hello, Jane. You're on the air.
Hi, Erica. Hi,
hi.
Lori. It's Jane Dare. How are you?
Hi, Jane.
How good. Are you?
I'm good.
Oh,
how
good.
Are you?
I'm doing well. Okay. I don't think we ever talked about Savannah when we talked, but I have my cat, Savannah, and I've got the other one, Dominique. And I have a couple of questions. Savannah seems to have a tooth issue. I did not discover this. The veterinarian kind of discovered it, and it sounded like it was kind of complicated and somewhat serious. And I wanted to find out from you about the tooth and kind of if Savannah, if what she's experiencing, if she's doing okay, if she's in pain, because she's not talking.
Okay, but let me just get clarification. Did she get help yet? Did she go to...
She went to have her teeth cleaned, and that's when they found through X-ray that she had one of her canines or whatever, the bigger teeth has some kind of root. It looked like kind of a root issue that they were talking kind of a pretty bad thing. Like
okay.
Systemic things could start to happen.
Okay, and is she going to get help for that from them?
Well, we don't have any money to get any help for that right this minute. That's why I just wanted to see how it was holding up. It's been about a month since they had their teeth cleaned.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Well, it is quite aggravating. So,
okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Okay. Is she having trouble eating crunchy food, or can you find out if she'd rather have soft? Well, I'm giving them pretty soft food anyway, and I make most of it myself, and so they get some fresh and chicken livers and things. See if there's anything she needs, would you, just food-wise?
It seems that you're being very careful and, you know, very attentive to giving her good food, so she's not saying that that's what she needs.
Okay. All right, but the tooth thing looks like something. I mean, she said it's hurting.
Yes.
Is it hurting?
Ugh. It's all aggravating.
Right. Yeah. Okay, the other question is, since you know of both Joseph and Berkeley, I'm getting ready to go in the car to drive to Canada with Joseph and Berkeley, and you had just talked about how to recognize boundaries so that you kind of stay within yourself rather than jumping into everybody else's business. And I just thought, you know, you're the perfect person. I can't believe you're on tonight because I really need advice from you on how do I do this automobile trip.
Okay, I'm so glad I'm talking to you again. What you need to do it's really kind of encapsulating yourself. It's like just feeling like the river of music of yourself is just winding around you and focusing into that first and focusing into that only when there's periods where you just need to be in silence in the car and feel that. It's just a practice of bringing, because you have a capacity to put your energy out into care and concern for others, but you have to know your limits of just bringing it back so you're in your own stratosphere. Can you feel yourself doing that right now in this moment?
Visual on that, you gave me something, and I was too busy thinking.
Can you feel yourself bringing your energy field back into yourself so that you're just feeling as though the river of music of you is spinning all around you, spinning in a very delightful, flowing, not fast, but kind of slow way, so you can just feel what it's like when you're just paying attention to you instead of what you do a lot, what you have a great capacity for, is you extend your energy field towards others you care about, your son and your husband, and that's great, but you have to know when it's tiring you out and you have to just pull it back in to yourself. Can you do that right now as a practice to just remember how that feels, and then you'll do it in the car as you need to?
For me to get something going that comes in actually into my heart and spirals counterclockwise, and just kind of, that kind of lets me know that that's me coming back to me. That's kind of what it just kind of comes in, and it's, that's what it's doing right now. It's coming in to the heart area and, yeah, just kind of settling in there.
Yes, and so you just, when you notice if you're the least bit tired or uncomfortable or drained, you just go into silence and do that for a while. So that you got it, yeah.
Okay, and the cats are going to be here for 16 days. We don't even have a sitter yet. Well, Savannah, can you tell my cats that we're going to be gone for 2.5 weeks?
They already know.
Or can you tell me a way to do that?
Yeah.
Do
I
need
told
to do,
them.
Okay.
They already
okay,
know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
They understand
perfect.
That.
Okay, and Savannah's mouth will hold till we get back?
I can't. You know, guarantee that. I don't know. As soon as you can, as soon as there's some way to get help, will be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Lori. It's good to hear your voice.
Good to talk to you.
Okay. Thanks, Ariel. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Jane. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, looks like we have one more caller for you. And next we are going to be talking to Rosalyn. Hello, Rosalyn. You're on the air with Dr. Lori.
Hi, Rosalyn.
Hi, Simon.
How can I support you today?
Hi. Well, she asked me, is it for a person or an animal? And I said person. And I was wondering, it's about my daughter, if she will be successful as far as the entertainment field in the future.
I don't do predictions because I believe that we all have free will and that we're born with all kinds of potential, and that what we choose has a lot to do with our success or not success. So I will look and see what, if you give me her name, what I can tell you about her that could be helpful.
Ambrie, A-M-B-R-I-E.
Okay, and how old is she?
13.
Okay, and so she's pursuing something with entertainment, or it's a dream, or?
Yes, she wants, after graduation, she would like to go to the university in Los Angeles for performing arts.
Okay, so what I see is that she has a lot of joy about that. It's a happy yearning, and that there's a sweet dreaminess about it, and that there's talents and skills to be developed with great discipline to make that dream come true.
Okay. Happening, coming true.
Well, you know, we all would love to be able to call someone who can tell us what's going to happen in our life, but we're really responsible for our lives, and what's going to happen in her life is going to have a lot to do with her choosing to be disciplined and work with her talents.
Okay. I'll let her know.
Okay, great.
Thanks for answering my call.
Sure.
No, you're welcome,
Rosalyn.
Yeah, you know, and I would quote Abraham that anything that you do with joy in your heart will bring you more joy. So,
yeah, that's true. That's a great quote. Yeah, it will bring you more joy if you do it with joy. And if you do it with determination, it will bring you more determination. And if you do it with kindness, it will bring you more kindness. And that's what we know. We do know that. But we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We really don't. Predictions are made constantly, and sometimes they come true.
Yeah, well, it depends on all things remaining equal, but since everything is in a state of flux all the time, you know, you could say something, well, based on the energy right now, but that won't stay the same. So, yeah, I would say that if she could have someone help her with her astrological energies, then she will at least know when it's time to advance and when it's time to hold still. You know, look for the windows where you have the best weather. You know, it's like the gardener is going to plant the seeds with the best phases of the moon. So
yeah, there's always a dream in the beginning, yes.
And
yeah,
what I can reiterate about her, just tuning into her, is that choosing discipline, really happy discipline, as opposed to wondering, will it happen? It's great to wonder. It's beautiful to wonder. But choosing, really grounding the discipline in will go a long way.
Okay. She needs, yeah. I'm working on it with her.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, she's blessed to have someone supporting her dream. That's very important. So great for you. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks again. Good night. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, that was really, you know, a good question and a good example of how we all are captains of our own ship. And there's really so many factors and so many things, that tools that you have at your command, that you really can attract anything you wish if you do it with the, you know, with the right energy, the right thought forms, the right methods, and staying always in a place of gratitude.
Yeah, gratitude and humility.
You can't go wrong there.
Yeah. Yeah. There are times where I've mentioned to people that it looks highly probable that something specific is going to happen in their life, but that's because they are putting out such a strong energy. They've worked so much at something that their energy is clearly aligned with someone else's energy coming their way. And that's the only time I'll talk about future predictions. If I see that somebody has a potential, I'll just remind them that it is their opportunity to work with that potential. Nothing's set yet. It hasn't happened. Nothing has or hasn't happened yet. If it's the future, we're here.
That's right. And everything is mutable. Although I know what you mean when you see that something has already gone beyond 55 critical mass, then it's kind of on the doorstep already. So
yeah.
Someone has put out. They're so focused. They've done all the right work. They've built the foundation. They've got the right timing, and they've done all their homework, and they have the discipline, and all the ducks are in a row. Those things are much more likely to come to fruition when you can see the momentum has already surpassed the iffy spot, you know?
Yes, and then it might come into fruition in a way different than how, and it usually does, different than our pictures
uh-huh.
and anticipations, but what we were looking for is there. So like when I put a lot of energy into doing service work to create celebrations on the planet to bring about unconditional love, I didn't know I'd end up working with animals. I had no idea I'd end up in Hawaii. None of that. I just knew what I needed to do. And so I went step by step. And if you had asked me, are you going to be teaching in Hawaii? I would have said, no, I won't be teaching in Hawaii. It just didn't occur to me. Or will animals be part of it? I didn't know. But I did know I was determined to bring this kind of neutral love as a message to the planet. And because I took step after step, everything else came in grace around me and put it in place. So if someone has a desire to and a calling to be a performing artist, go for it. You know, get really good at it. Put your heart into it. Put your discipline and soul into it. Learn all you can about it, and you'll end up somewhere. It might even be better than where you think you want to go.
That's right. But you still have to have the joy in the moment, you know, rather than saying, okay, I'm going to do all this hard work and then I'll be happy later.
Because when you do that, what you have later, if you're working in hopes of being happy later, whatever comes, you're going to be working for the next happy later, because that's the energy you're setting up.
Right. So, you know, enjoy the journey, I guess, is what I'm saying in that way. No matter where you end up, it'll be wonderful, and it'll be sometimes way better than anything you could have, you know, imagined or fantasized about. Well, we just had another a caller come out of the screen room, so I guess we do have time for one more. So I'm going to open up the mic, and you'll be talking to Debbie. Hi, Debbie. You're on the air.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, thank you. Hello, thank you so much.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, my sister has this cat named Lewis. We call him Lou. And he's a rescue. He was adopted. He has some kind of medical issue that they are not finding out what it is. And I was wondering if you knew, like you could tell me what he felt like, some other alternative things to try.
Did you try any kind of holistic, like homeopathy, acupuncture, supplements, someone, a naturopath, a vet who's trained in East and West who can accurately and prescribe that? Because often the Western vets don't quite get it, and then if you go
right.
to someone with more extensive alternative training, you can get better help. So
there is somebody in town that I don't like anymore. She used to be really ethical, and she's, because it's a small town, but not so much anymore. But there is a Chinese medicine vet I could try.
Why don't you try that? Because it's really important when there's a physical issue to get, you know, physical help. I can check and see if he has anything else to tell us about
it. Yeah, because he recently went outside And I feel bad for him because I think maybe he doesn't understand why he went outside.
Well, the thing about him is he's not really, like, overly concerned with the physical, so it's not, he has just a kind of innate cheeriness inside him. And even when something isn't going so well physically, it's not really deterring his that.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's feeling like himself. He's feeling fine. But something does feel kind of cut off in the way he experiences his body once you get down to, like, the belly area.
Okay.
And so, you know, that is indication that something's off and something needs help. That should be, I think going to get that Chinese medical help is a great step to see if that's a good
thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe my mother made him upset. That's what I was going to ask too about, like, his, you know, I mean, maybe cats don't think about that, but she, you know, she could be a lot of nervous energy. Let me put it that way. So
okay, there is an effect. Happier. Yes, just a minute. Yes, her energy is a bit overwhelming for him.
Okay.
He's not complaining about it. He just doesn't know what to do with it. It feels overwhelming. And so, and that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with her at all. It's just like maybe orange juice and milk, you wouldn't mix them together, right?
Right.
So it's absolutely just not mixing together in those moments. It doesn't mean anyone's wrong. If he's feeling overwhelmed, he's just saying he needs space to kind of release energy and go, just like Jane was, she was going back to her own energy field. He's just saying he needs to go back to his own energy field, and he knows how to do that.
Oh, good. Okay.
He just takes space, and then he can do that.
But he's outside, and he does seem happier, but I just wonder, like, if it'll correct itself, or do we still need to explore? And she's kind of not paying him much attention. I feel bad for him. I really do.
Well, like I said, he has a really good handle on taking care of himself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Energetically and emotionally, he's good at that. But then he does need the space to do that, and he finds that.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
They have a lot of animals, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for checking in on him.
Yeah, thank you.
And let me add that I have experienced the effects of Eastern veterinary medicine. I've seen it do amazing things. So I agree wholeheartedly. If you can find a Chinese, traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, it's very powerful. Acupuncture and the herbs and things.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've seen it fix problems that Western vets just like, well, all we can do is give you these drugs, you know.
Right.
So they treat the source and they return the body to balance. So, find the Chinese vet.
Okay. Thank you so much. I thought his emotions were bothering him, but that makes sense. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Debbie. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I, you know, talk about following your gut feelings. I just one day it's like, I'm going to find a vet that does cold laser therapy. So I just go on the internet and turns out there's one 10 minutes from my house.
I love it.
You know, they do cold laser and Chinese acupuncture, chiropractic, chakra balancing. I mean, it's the best of both worlds, and they've got the traditional Western for some things that, you know, are more emergency kind of stuff, but they're out there. You just have to follow your intuition and go find them for your animals.
And as long as we're doing commercials, I also discovered through this vet, and for everyone that has animals that they love dearly, a dehydrated raw food called from a company called The Honest Kitchen, and I'm just loving it. Just robust health that I hadn't seen in my pets. So it's a small company, but it's really, really good stuff, good products. It's all organic, dehydrated raw food for cats and dogs.
Thank you.
So I didn't mean to do a commercial for them. I certainly, they're not paying me or anything. It's just it's great. It's easy to use and really does animals. They just love it.
Sounds great.
Wow, our time has flown by, Lori. You want
to? Is now a good time for me to offer a couple of
things? Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, actually, I called Carl, one of my producers, just in time for this show, and we're going to make each episode. This is a new decision. Each episode will be available free of charge when it airs, and they're going to start after it airs the first time. Then, if you want to go back and watch it, there's a small fee, but it's going to start airing soon, streamingforthesoultv.com or streamingforthesoul.tv, and it's going to be Tuesday nights at 7, starting after July 1st, and it's called Akua Lono, and it means one universe, one love, one God, one divine mother, father of peace, of the unseen magic, of the rains, of the fertility. It's a word that includes two words that combine mean so much.
Wow.
And so everyone can stay posted to streamingforthesoultv.com or streamingforthesoul.tv for Tuesday nights at 7, starting sometime in July. And also for those of you who did not receive my free gift 15-minute mini reading for yourself or an animal in the past, please feel free to email me and you'll get an automatic email back telling you how to sign up for that. They do book way out, so it's usually a few months ahead, but it's a great treat to give yourself or a friend to look forward to. And you can just email me right through my website, animiracles.com. That's animiracles.com. animiracles.com.
Well, that is an excellent and generous, wonderful offer to help people and their animals. And is that Tuesday at 7? Is that Eastern? What time?
Oh, sorry, that's Pacific.
Pacific time.
So 10 Eastern.
10 Eastern. Okay. Good, then we won't be on at the same time because I want to see the show.
Okay.
good. And anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I just felt so grateful to be in the beautiful energy of this lovely audience. I'm really sensitive, and I speak on a lot of shows. I've been doing a lot on CBS lately, and the audiences where people are from other realms and of the heart. It's just so refreshing to me because I feel it all, and I'm so grateful for this group. And I'm so grateful, Ariel, for your beautiful hosting of me. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're a pleasure and a joy to have on the show, and you're so generous with your talents and your time and your heart. We just love to have you back on whenever you want to come back.
I can't wait. Thank you. I love it here.
And, you know, we do have a very special audience. They're awake. They're evolved. And they really get it. They really get it. And they're just a joy for us to be with. So we're happy to have you with us this evening. And I encourage everyone to check out Dr. Lori's TV show, as well as sign up for any kind of service that she will have for you. You will love it. And just make sure it's after July 1st, Lori.
I will make sure. And one thing I want to add, because I get emails sometimes, my 15-minute mini, because I do ordinarily charge for my 15-minute sessions. This is a gift, and you just email me, and you won't be charged for it. So I want to make, I don't want anyone to be confused about that when they see the price on my website. For your first one, I'm giving it to you free.
Wow. That is so wonderful. And I'm sure that you will have a lot of Starseed listeners signing up. The email address is on your Anna Miracles website, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So check out the website, get that email address, and I really, really appreciate your spending this time with us. We'll be looking forward to your TV show come July. And from all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, Anastasia Lavendar, who is on assignment tonight, Vanya and Claudia hosting the switchboard, thank you so much, Lori, for joining us this evening. And we look forward to having you back.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Everyone, we will be back next week, and Lavendar will be here. Thank you so much for tuning in. You take care of yourself, and remember, keep your eyes focused upward. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.